Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome into the Playbook for a Tuesday on Patriots.com Radio. It is our first Tuesday broadcast because last week we were still doing Patriots Monday on a Tuesday following the holiday. And what a day to debut Nitpick Tuesday. Oh, my. For the uninitiated, Tuesdays are generally the day that we, as I explained a little last week on the show, generally the day that we kind of give, you know, at least 24 to 48 hours. We're trying to give a little bit of time from the game played over the weekend to let it sit, let it stew, let the emotions not get the best of us, and then really try to put some perspective on the game that just transpired 2 days previous. And, you know, without letting some of the hot-headed emotion get through. I haven't seen the hot-headedness stop over the course of the last 2 days. All right, clearly there are many of you who have the need to get things off of your chest, and so that's why we're here today. Consider us, cathartic respite, if you will, because I understand that, you know, you may not have that opportunity where you live if you're listening to us outside of the, you know, the New England area in particular, don't have a local talk show that, gives a you-know-what about the New England Patriots. So because of that, that's certainly one of the reasons that we're here. And if you have some thoughts on the game from Sunday, and we're not able to call, and I understand the post-game show here online was a busy time. What'd you guys do, Kev? You went over an extra 30 minutes or so on the post-game show?
It was nuts. The phones were insane.
Well, and I understand that because people are, you know, in the mood and they're emotional and they just came from watching the game most likely. And so you had things that you had to ask and get off your chest. And now that you've had a little time to sort of disseminate it all and try to understand and put some perspective into it, you probably still have some questions. So we are going to deal with that today. This is our put Miami to rest day. Bill Belichick even said earlier today himself, he said, we've already gone through the videotape, we've gone through the film, and we've put Miami aside and we're on to Minnesota. That's fine. And they had best have done that already by now. Otherwise, we'll have a hell of a next Tuesday, won't we? But in the meantime, you may not, of course, have had the chance to do that. And so that's why we're here today. And that's why we call it Nitpick Tuesday. In today's view from above, if you haven't seen it, it's posted online here on Patriots.com, the weekly column that I do, each and every Tuesday. I will include some nitpicks, my nitpicks from the game. And keep in mind now, I'm not going to be quite as obvious about some things as you, because my job is to sort of look away from the ball almost like an analyst would, a television analyst or a radio analyst would, and give you two or three points that I really feel like, had they gone differently, that, you know, a game outcome, certainly momentum-wise, maybe not the score, but momentum-wise, it could have changed and could have changed for the better. One of the nitpicks I had today was pretty obvious, but it was just so egregious I had to bring it up. All right, so it's on the View from Above piece entitled Nitpicks and Nitwits online today, and we'll go over some of those. If you haven't had a chance or can't get to it while you're listening to the program today, we'll go over some of that. In the meantime, it's time for you to climb on board and vent with your nitpicks from Sunday's 33-20 loss to the Miami Dolphins. Just a couple of thoughts overall. Number one, I'm sure this has come across your desk, wherever you may be, that each of the last two times that the New England Patriots have lost their season opener, they went on to win the Super Bowl. It happened in 03, which was the infamous Lawyer Malloy game. You lose to Buffalo 31-0. You go on and you win the Super Bowl later that year. The time before that was also 2001. That was a loss to, what was it, Cincinnati, I think it was, right off the top of my head, a home opening loss. And guess what? You went on to win the Super Bowl that year. So I'm not saying that's going to happen. All I'm going to tell you is let's keep, try to get, again, keep things in some kind of perspective. And I know that's one of the things I really feel like over the 13 years previous to this one that we've had Patriots Playbook here, as part of our programming, that's the one thing we try to do is provide some perspective. Sure, we're going to rant. Sure, we're going to rave. Sure, we're going to scream. Yeah, I'm going to listen to it, and we're going to exchange views, and I'm going to listen to your ideas, and I'm going to listen to your suggestions, and you're going to hear mine, and we both may think we're off the deep end, but we try, when it's all said and done, to bring in different viewpoints so we can have perspective, and I think it's important we get it. Things are never as bad as they seem, and yet things are never as good as they seem. And I know last week we all went off the deep end and had this team at 13-3 or better, and had this team as a Super Bowl, you know, contender or better. And it still could happen. I am not going to sell the season short for one game, one loss, but there are certainly some alarming things, which I'm sure we'll all go over here during the course of the next 2 hours, and that, you know, we can identify here, and we can probably agree that, yeah, they're going to need fixing, but it's still up to the football team itself to go out and fix these things. You know, guys are off today. They'll get back to work tomorrow, and they'll be game planning for Minnesota starting tomorrow, as we will here on the program. By the way, Minnesota not only won big, but they were unbeaten in the preseason. Not that that matters, because I still don't think preseason means squat, and I really don't know that there's any way anybody can convince me otherwise. Nevertheless, that is something I think that at the very least, in terms of momentum, everyone should pay attention to this week. Everyone should pay attention to this week. All right, so here's how you get a hold of me here on the program. Here's how you contribute. Here's how you opine. Here's how you vent. Here's how you nitpick today. I want you to come up with, A, your number one nitpick, because I'm sure everybody's got a bunch. I want you to narrow them down, because I'm sure everybody has probably a half a dozen or more that you just that you're probably pulling your hair out about if you're a diehard Patriots fan. That's fine. I recognize that. I'm sure between your number one nitpick and everybody else's number one nitpick, we're going to cover pretty much just about everything that needs to be covered. So in the interest of getting in as many callers, as many emailers, as many tweeters, and as many Facebook posts, I'd love for you to pick your number one. And if by some chance we get into the program and you don't hear it, well, then fire through with another one. That's how I'd kind of like to handle it today. You can certainly reach us on the telephone. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-PATS-500. Very simple, 855-PATS-500. Toll free wherever you are, 855-PATS-500. The email address, webradio@patriots.com. Web radio is all one word, webradio@patriots.com. Hit me up on Twitter, @JRBroadcaster. I thank you for the new follows. Keep them coming, keep them coming. @JRBroadcaster. That's how you reach me on Twitter. On Facebook, it's John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. And if you haven't submitted the friend request, please do so. We'll answer that in the affirmative, and then you can post your football comments, your Patriots comments. And if you happen to be listening during the show, if you want to chat and using the Facebook chat function, yep, that's how I get a lot of my suggestions here on the program, then you can do that via Facebook as well. So there's four primary ways that you can get in contact with me and get in contact with the show and give me your point of view, realizing that you don't get much of a chance to do that if you're outside of Greater Boston or Greater Providence, where there's a daily talk show to talk, you know, to talk Patriots about, and even sometimes you can't talk Patriots because they're running a different agenda. This is the place you need to be if you're a football fan. And I even think, you know, because we do get a lot of listeners from Connecticut and Rhode Island and certainly in suburban Boston and in the areas, these people also know this is where you can get Patriots, you know, in a sense, 24/7 or however long we're on the air. Seems like 24/7 sometimes, doesn't it, Kev? But while we're here, this is the time to do it. Just a couple of quick thoughts, and then we'll take your thoughts. The other issue I think that we would be remiss if we did not at least mention, because I know we've got our own bag of you-know-what, and everybody else has theirs, the Ray Rice story that has permeated the NFL globally, permeated our sports news over the last 24 to 48 hours as well, I think is worth mentioning to the point that it's a global issue. You know, family violence is obviously not something to, you know, to kid about. Serious issue. If you haven't seen the videotape, it's there. Clearly, you can go find it. You can find it on Twitter. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on TMZ Sports, which broke the story a little more than 24 hours ago. I'm sure if you're plugged in at all socially, you know what happened. The video from inside the elevator, the story, of course, that broke, that got him a two-game suspension in the NFL in the offseason, showed that, yeah, he clocked his wife. He clocked her pretty good. And that's why the NFL suspended him. The Ravens cut him. You know, and it's just been an absolute pouring of anti-Ray Rice, I don't even know a good word to put it, news, thoughts, words come out through social media, just everywhere, even through regular mainstream media. I mean, how can anybody condone it? Well, nobody's condoning anything, okay? What happened in that elevator between Ray and his now wife, Janae, is a tragedy, and I think we can all agree upon that. Does that make Ray Rice a dirtbag? Hard for me to say that because I don't know him very well. Now, if he were a repeat offender, then you'd certainly understand why anybody would think that. What I'm going to tell you now, though, and this is the question that I have for you today, and I want you to consider it as a part of our program, in addition to your nitpicks from the game on Sunday, because this is a major issue, and on this show we also deal with major issues from the NFL that could either affect the Patriots or indirectly affect the Patriots. That's some of what we do here on the program. Again, in an effort to give you a complete picture and some perspective on stories that can affect all of us as even football fans. I wonder, because now that Ray and his wife have come out and asked for privacy, and Ray certainly knows that he did something wrong, at least we don't have any evidence that this is an ongoing occurrence or that he had committed this kind of an egregious act against his, you know, wife or girlfriend previous to this, there's no excusing it. I'm not excusing it. But I wonder how long we go until some form of forgiveness becomes pervasive. I ask that question because I think we all know that those who are forgiving and those who ask for forgiveness usually receive it, especially when it comes to athletes who are in a public eye, who are automatically put up on pedestals, as we all do. Media fans, we all put these guys, whether they deserve to be there or not, we put them on pedestals. Is that fair? Probably not. But we do it anyway. Why? Because they can do something for an awful lot of money that you or I cannot do. Now, put the humanistic part of this aside. He's made a lot of money, sure. Hopefully he's taking care of himself, so he's not going to be hurting for anything, but he's 28 years old. Admittedly, he hasn't had a good couple of years, although he's had some good games against the Patriots in the past. How long until somebody, some team somewhere decides, okay, he's paid his price, let's sign him because we need a running back? How would you feel if the Patriots were that team that brought Ray Rice back into the fold? I'd be interested to know what your point of view is, because I do believe, and I'd be surprised, I think, if it were this year, because I think we need to put some space between us and this particular issue, because it was so egregious, so violent, and it was caught on videotape. And, you know, first of all, boy, you're going into a casino and you're telling me that you don't think that your every move is going to be clocked or videotaped or something by somebody? I mean, there's cameras everywhere. We do live in the era of 1984. If you know anything about the old George Orwell movie, of the book 1984, and the movie that was made 1984, talking about Big Brother watching your every move. We're living in 1984 is what we're doing. Go read the book. That is our society. With the internet and cameras everywhere, we are in Big Brother. We're living. Mr. Kraft even came out on CBS this morning and said that the Patriots would never sign Rice in light of this incident. He did say that. Let's say, however, just for argument's sake, because we are such a forgiving society, that the Patriots decided they're going to forgive him and bring him in. A year from now, 2 years from now, before his career is over. I believe that at some point in time, whether it's a year or two, some team, and Mr. Kraft says it's not going to be the Patriots. Okay, that's fine. I'll take him at his word. But some team somewhere is going to do that because of the football need and because of our willingness to be forgiving as a society. Everybody should get a second chance. Yes? No? What would you think? Would you think any less of that team? Would you think any less of your Patriots? Or are you also of the opinion that if someone shows their remorse, if someone goes through the trials and tribulations of trying to correct his or her wrong, maybe he goes and gets treatment. Maybe he goes and, you know, does the things that they're going to ask him to do in order to rehabilitate, so to speak, himself. Shouldn't someone be given the benefit of the doubt for that? And be given a second chance. It just seems like we're really quick to cut the man down without walking a mile in the man's shoes. I am not forgiving him. But we as a society, and we've shown it time and time again, are a forgiving group. Especially when those who commit the errors and admit to their sins do exactly that. They show their remorse. I mean, look at the guys who were caught red-handed doing steroids in baseball. Those that have admitted their problems and moved on, they're being welcomed back. Maybe not with open arms, but let's just say they're being accepted. While those that continue to deny, we're going to have a harder time taking back. And Wes Welker is a perfect example of that. Wes Welker denying he ever took anything. We talked about this a little bit last week in light of his 4-game suspension by the NFL for PED use. And even if he did something or didn't do something, he should have just said, look, I'm sorry this happened. I apologize. I'm moving on. That's it. And I'm sure the Broncos fans will welcome him back. Now, this is an issue that's going to stay in front of him until you put it behind you. So what if Ray Rice puts this issue behind him, does what, you know, everyone has asked of him and has counseling and looks for anger management and begs forgiveness. And shouldn't really the ultimate judge and jury be his wife in this particular instance? Although there will be some that would say, well, you know, she could be a victim of battered wife syndrome. I get that. I've never been a part of that. Thank goodness. And I can't speak for those who are in that situation. And I won't pretend to. It's horrible. It's terrible. But because we are such a forgiving society, why not Ray Rice? That's really the question I'm asking you. Why not Ray Rice? All right, interested in your thoughts where the major news around the National Football League is concerned over the course of the last day or so. In addition to your nitpicks from the football game on Sunday, there's a ton to get to. 855-PATS-500, web radio at patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. Lead it off with our friend Steve in Killeen, Texas. Steve, good afternoon. You're in the playbook.
Hey, John. You definitely set the table, buddy. I'll start with Ray Rice, just kind of to dovetail where you were.
Sure.
Given the way that I'm sure you were raised and I was raised, had you or I been in that elevator, I think I would have had the hubris to step up and try to stop Ray. Because a man doesn't put his hands on a woman.
Absolutely. Hey, where you and I were raised, Steve, the woman would have clocked us.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's just the way I think that, you know, most of the girls that I knew from back in my day, they didn't take crap from anybody. So, and that really, I'm going beyond the point, but you're right. Even though I would have risked bodily harm by stepping in between, there's just no way that you would have let that go. And that being said, Had they not been alone in that elevator, I don't think he clocks her.
No, I don't think so either. But to kind of dovetail on, you know, the future, go back to Corey Dillon. There was a lot of speculation bringing Corey Dillon in based on his background.
Yeah.
And he was embraced by the Patriots. He performed. He aligned with what the team expected of him. And he became a great asset to the team. Now, my hope is, you know, Ray goes through what he needs to go through, and that somewhere down the line there can be redemption.
Right, and that's exactly right. That's the whole point that I'm getting to, Steve. Even Mr. Kraft, when he was asked that this morning on CBS This Morning, he said the only thing he could say, well, we'll never sign him. Because if he had said, well, I believe in redemption and I believe in forgiveness, yada, yada, then that would have been turned around on him and saying, Patriots will sign Ray Rice. You know, and that would have gotten completely out of control, even though he didn't say that. So he said the only thing he could have said. And that's why that's the only thing anybody can say about Ray right now, and that's why it appears to be so one-sided, and the guy's getting pummeled himself. And maybe it's deserved. I can't argue that point that it's not. You shouldn't lay your hands on a woman. Never should have been, ever, lay your hands on a woman. I don't care who she is or whatever happened. You walk away. You should walk away from everything, because violence in this society has just permeated our everyday lives to the point where we need to learn to be the bigger person and walk away from anything, no matter the gender of the offending party. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, and like I said, you and I are not excusing the behavior at all, but in the hopes of redemption and enlightenment, and if this woman chooses to stay with Ray, I hope their situation works out to be one of the best ever. That's my hope for them.
Mine too, Steve. Yeah, mine too, Steve. My thoughts and my prayers will be with that family, because I think that's what they need right now more than anything else. They need privacy, yes, but they need, they need goodwill their way. They don't need vitriol their way, and that's what I'm trying to provide my own personal self.
Yeah, time and distance.
Yes.
I think that's going to be the key for that.
Correct.
To work out however it needs to work out, John.
Correct. And then if by some chance, God forbid, something like this happens again, then somebody needs to get that young lady out of there.
Absolutely. Now, on to the Patriots. My issue, and my nitpick would be the overall bipolar nature of the game itself, John.
Okay.
Kind of the tale of two halves,
mm-hmm.
where the first half looked like, let's get ready for the confetti. We're going all the way to, the wheels falling off. Tom's inaccuracy, I guess, would be one of the things I'd point out. And kind of the Achilles heel from last year rearing its ugly head, where we couldn't do anything on third down on either side of the ball. And my third and final nit, I guess, is kind of the what happened to the level of passion, not only when you're ahead, the head slap with Gronk between him and Brady, but when you're down, somebody getting in your face going, look, we are not going to lose this game. We refuse to quit. I didn't see that in the second half from anyone. And, even as a guy who played at a non-professional level, that's just something that, to me, is just not acceptable. When you're down, that's when you get everybody up. You're like, look, we're going to step up and we're not going to give this one away.
Right.
And I didn't see that passion in the second half at all. Maybe I missed it, John, but for me, that's somewhat telling that there wasn't anyone that I could see going, get your head up, get your head back in the game. When we're down by 3 points, the game is not over. We still got another half to play. Let's pull it together. We need one drive, one series, and we're back on top, and we're putting it away after that.
Yeah.
Didn't see it.
Yeah.
So that would be my big nit of this whole game. And again, of course, the ugly third down situation that seems to rear its ugly head yet again.
Yeah, that's a good one that actually I was thinking about getting to, but I think the thing that overshadowed that for me was the fact that we had a very important stretch in the third quarter and early fourth quarter where the offense went 0 for 7 on third down. And I'm like, that's has that ever happened ever since Tom Brady's been quarterback of the Patriots? I don't know that it has. I mean, 7 straight? I just, that one puzzled me. And so I guess that may have been, an overriding thing for me. But you're right. The defense couldn't get off the field. And it seemed like that was an old problem. What's that?
23 unanswered points as well was one of those things that made me shake my head. I'm like, we have no response whatsoever.
Yeah.
Not even a field goal.
Yeah, that was somewhat bothersome. I think, you know, in a bigger sense, what surprised me and shocked me the most about Sunday was the fact that this team has made a name for itself, this coaching staff, this head coach, really, has made a name for himself because of his ability to adjust on the fly. There was not only no adjustment made, it was completely the opposite direction. There was no nothing. And that was just like, it was almost like they curled up in the fetal position and decided to take the body blows from Miami the entire second half and say, okay, hurry up and make it go away so we can go home. That's the overwhelming impression that I was left with. And I'm like, that was not a Patriot-like performance. So I asked myself a question. I said, really? Now, there's two things at fault here. Number one, shame on the coaches. Okay. That was a game that was on the coaches because I did not believe the Patriots were prepared for what Miami presented. I just don't think that they were prepared. And I think they should have known better about Miami's ability to run the football with Lazor as their new offensive coordinator and the zone blocking that they came out that totally and completely overmatched the Patriots' defensive front. I don't think there's any way, had they known that was happening, that they would have gone with a 3-4 defense. That blew me away. I'm like, how can you do that? I mean, even if you put an extra body in there, there's going to be one less lane for them to cut back on. So it didn't make any sense to me at all. I was totally and completely flummoxed by that decision. And then in the second half, when they had a chance to change it, they didn't. Almost inexcusable.
And that's what I meant by the bipolar nature of it, John. And like you said, it seemed like they curled up and there was no fire anywhere in the second half.
And the other person that belongs to the blame here, other than the coaches, are the veteran players, Steve. The veterans.
I expected somebody like Wilfork to be up or Reeves or especially Tom. I expected Tom to be in somebody's face going, look,
Tom,
you're going to get here, here's what we're doing, and we're going to score.
It's Tom.
And that's unbelievable to me.
It's Tom, it's Vince, it's Gerard Mayo. Those three guys. Okay? You know, put some blame on shoulders. Those guys have to shoulder it as much as anybody on that roster for that performance simply because of the inability to come back and the inability to take the body blow and the inability to say, all right, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah. I want to see some intensity, John.
Yeah.
Throughout the game.
There's no question. That fire has got to be there. Yeah, I agree with you. Steve, thanks so much for the phone call. That's a good way to start it here. Let's get to Melvin in Tennessee. Melvin, welcome into the playbook.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, Melvin.
Okay. Now that I've calmed down a little bit, I got a lot to say, and I know I got a limited amount of time, so.
Go.
I'll get the Ray Rice first.
Go.
About that being said, that never surprises me and stuff like that. You know, I definitely think he deserves another chance, after he's had the counseling. Just me, not with us. It's not with us. It's just too, I'm still not over the other one.
Yeah.
I love time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and I know this might be incorrect, but right now, that was one of the most, even as an adult, that was one of the most embarrassing things I've had to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, just walking around, because I'm not going to take off my New England stuff, but walking around and, because I had an 81 on the side of my hat that I always wore that I got from Randy Moss. So, that was concerning. I just don't want that negativity that comes through your brain. Nothing's more important than that brain.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, and just right now, it's just not, not a good time. I think as an individual, yes, definitely. But for us, our brand, I just, you know, give me a little bit more time. I'd much rather stick with what we got. Just nice human beings. Because I'm not saying he's a nice guy, but well, he's not a nice guy just because he made a mistake. But right now, I just don't want that type of, negativity right now.
I understand, Melvin, and I think there are a lot of people that would agree with you. But let me ask you a philosophical question. It's okay if he goes to somewhere else, but not to, you know, my team. Does that truly make you a forgiving person?
Let me think. Yeah, I mean, right now, because I can't really, I know they're trying to get stiffer with those options, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it's a thing that I can forgive him. I'm just speaking from a global standpoint. I don't know if everybody can just accept that. And to be honest, Dante Stallworth was probably the most interesting thing I've ever read, heard before in my life.
Yeah.
And he never got to the level of this. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's true. Hey, Dante Stallworth ran over a guy. Okay.
Exactly.
He ran over a guy. He didn't slug him. He ran over him. Killed him.
Like, wasn't he drunk or high? Something like that. I
think he was drunk. But I I'd have to go back and look it up. So if I'm misspeaking, then I don't want to be held accountable for that. I'd have to go back and look at it. The fact of the matter is, though, is that he's gone on and he's allowed to, you know, have a life for himself. He's trying to hold himself accountable for his egregious ways. And I think we have to give this some space and allow a guy like Ray Rice to do that. It's that simple. It's that simple. I'm not condoning. It was horrific what we saw. And I think we all knew that that was probably what happened when we saw the first videotape when he was originally suspended this summer. We didn't have the inside video, but everybody said, oh, yeah, well, what could he have possibly done? And now that we know, the other issue here, and I'm sure the NFL at some point will end up answering to this, and you know, it might be Roger Goodell answering to this with his job, but you know, a lot of people are backing up the commissioner saying he didn't know, he didn't know. Well, if TMZ got this video, how the hell did the NFL not get this video? That's the thing that's the thing that blows me away. The NFL? Really? The NFL can get things done that the CIA can't get done.
Right.
You know? So that, you know, somehow, some way, something isn't jiving here. That's all I'm saying. And so in light of all of that, the bottom line here is that I think we need to remember that, yes, time needs to pass, but that we also need to stay true to who we are as a society. And that is, if someone expresses remorse and shows that remorse and tries to work toward that remorse, then they need to be forgiven.
And like I said, after Dante Stallworth, I mean, he eventually did come back to the team.
Oh,
but
yeah.
During that, yeah, sure. Yeah, just, yeah, after that really, that moment right there, right now, me personally, I'm sure a lot of people, I just need a little space. Because
I agree with you.
I'm still trying to get over another issue.
All right. I agree with you. All right. And now, nitpick for Sunday. Gimme.
Nick, wow.
Gimme your best shot.
The concern with this is that I was so distraught that I don't like that our offense looks so confused all the time. I just seem like I didn't get a chance to watch most of the first half, but I did see the second. I don't feel confident that, and this is from based off last year, I don't feel confident that Tom Brady has Julian Edelman, things like Gronkowski, like our receiving core looks so bad. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're trying to do a lot of receiver type base stuff. Oh, we're gonna work with more wide receivers post 81. And then there's after that little situation. I was like, well, you really don't have great receivers. Why were you doing, are we putting more receivers out here? Oh, we're running two running backs. I was like, well, your running backs might be gone after this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just our offense doesn't have anything that it does well. And this has been a long issue. The guy you invested your money into, Danny and Amendola right now is not really working out. So what are we doing? They look so, that's my one nitpick that's based off of last year, is that we don't have anything that we feel like we can, that we're good at, I feel like.
Sure.
Does that make sense? I feel like
that's
my biggest thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, didn't really see any improvement. So what can we hang our hat on? And I totally get that. And I'd have to say that that's a legitimate nitpick. It's a good sort of day after type thing when you look at, okay, so what did we do well? Well, we didn't really do anything terribly well. I mean, special teams kind of stunk because you got a punt blocked. I mean, the only thing we did, I guess, was Steven Gostkowski kick field goals. That's about the only thing that I noticed, because we couldn't get off the field on third down. We couldn't convert on third down when we needed to in the second half. There was no running game to speak of. The offensive line didn't protect very well. The defensive line didn't stop anybody. I mean, where was something good? And I didn't see anything. So I guess really, Melvin, to go a little bit further here, it really couldn't have gotten much worse. It really couldn't have gotten much worse. And yet that was a game that was still very winnable until the last couple of minutes when Miami scored again. So, you know, you can't play much worse than that. And you were really, you know, in the ball game, on the road, hostile place, a place that you traditionally don't play well to begin with. And I think we did say that plenty last week before the game. And I did say that Miami can win this game. And here is how Miami can win this game. And they can certainly avoid turnovers. And yet they turned the ball over three times in the first half and still won the game, because because of the Patriots' mistakes that almost equaled what Miami did.
Right. It was bad. And can I say two more things?
Quick.
I get off?
Quick.
Okay. First thing I got to do is the missed tackles. Missed tackles has to be fixed because this is an ongoing thing from last year, too.
Yeah.
Because if you miss tackles next week,
yep.
really going to be in trouble.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Yes.
What's your second
thing? Second thing is we're talking about the putting the pedestals on the athletes.
Yeah.
Since I've been there, I got a chance to play with the Gerard Mayos and Arian Foster when I was at UT in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was around there with people like that, you never know what those people are like behind when the cameras are off, nobody's around and stuff like that. Those people, you can have, there's such a band of people in that locker room. You never know what those people are real life. Like, just, we're talking about Hernandez and stuff from last year. I'm grateful that Gerard Mayo, when I was around him, was that great caliber of a guy that you see on camera. That's what he really was. I can't say that about a lot of the other athletes that I've been around and play around or whatever it is. But I'm glad that we do have that type of caliber player on our team.
That's interesting.
I very much value that type of those people, those players, those athletes. I really do.
That's very good to know. Melvin, I'm glad you shared that.
Mm-hmm, no problem.
Thanks, buddy. I'll
talk to you later.
You got it. Thank you. Let's continue with Matthew in Virginia. Matthew, you're up next in the playbook.
Hey, John. How are you?
I'm good, Matthew.
So the Ray Rice situation is a little tricky for me, and I hope you don't mind if I just stick to the game on Sunday.
Go right ahead.
All right. So my biggest nitpick is going to be pretty obvious. The offensive line was porous. I remember repeatedly seeing several plays where Brady dropped back the pass, and there's just a dolphin or three in his face, just, you know, constantly all day. And as much as a lot of people want to say that it had nothing to do with the weather, it was humid. It was really hot and humid, and living in D.C., I can understand, and working outside, I can understand how that kind of humidity and moisture in the air can really tax your body really, really quickly, especially if you don't hydrate. So,
mm-hmm.
And the defensive line was toothless, in my opinion. I feel like there was a scheming issue, though. I don't know if it was necessarily a talent issue. Why were we playing a 3-4? We've never done that before.
That one blew me away almost more than anything. When they came out in a 3-4, I'm like, okay, so, all right, I guess I can understand that. But when you're playing a 3-4, you traditionally need to have your tackles or your ends in this particular case be two gap guys that are excelling at plugging the hole so the linebackers can make the plays. We didn't have that.
No, the defensive tackle on a 3-4 needs to be a mountain of a man.
We didn't have Silver Salinga, and Chris Jones was inactive.
Adkins that can just like.
Yeah, I got to admit, I love Vince Wilfork. I think he's a great human being. I think he's a gamer. I think, you know, I would rather have him on my team than not have him on my team. But for his first game back, you know, I think it was great that he went the distance like he did. But say for about two plays, he was blocked all game long, and it was like Miami knew all we got to do is take care of Big Vince, and we're in good shape. And that's exactly what they did. And the Patriots did not adjust.
They have five guys on three, and if you put two guys on Vince, I mean, that's it. And listen, I love Vince. He's the heart of this team. He's a veteran presence on that line, and he can really help, hopefully bring Dominic Easley to his full potential. But he's a bigger guy, and I bet you I don't want to know how hard he was struggling in that humidity. Like I said, I live in D.C. and I work outside, and if you're not careful, man, that can creep up on you quick, and you run out of steam.
I'm sure that was a factor. Nobody said it was a factor, but late in the game, I'm sure that was a factor. And no one wants to use that as an excuse. It had to be a factor. The conditioning was a factor, regardless of what you hear anybody say.
Now, real quick, I just want to give you a few pros that I thought I was very – or a few positives that I thought. I thought Shane Vereen, except for missing that one wheel route, which he just can't seem to get a handle on, maybe is a little bit of a bad throw. I thought Shane Vereen was awesome. He was running out of the backfield, and he was making plays and a couple of screen passes. I thought he did really well. I thought Jamie Collins looked really good in coverage. He had that one nice pass defense in the end zone.
I also thought he got abused a couple of times, too.
Yeah, he definitely did. And And Gerard, or I'm sorry, Dont'a Hightower, he got some pressure, which is great. I mean, he got called for the penalty, but he finally got to the quarterback. He did something. I was really excited.
That's also, okay, and I think those are good points, Matthew, but that's also something I think that the coaching staff should own. The Patriots put pressure, and we saw them get pressure, and when they got to Ryan Tannehill, they were up high. Brady didn't get hit high once. Our guys, the Patriots, need to know how to freaking tackle.
Oh, man. No Sean Marino bouncing off our defenders like a pinball machine, just keeping his legs moving and staying upright, just constantly falling forward for an extra 3 yards, just bouncing off one guy, keep moving. It was really, really frustrating to see.
They got schooled, man. Matthew, they just got schooled. I mean, they got whipped. They got schooled. They got whipped. I mean, and part of the not being able to tackle issue, again, that's a coaching problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
I put that one squarely on the coaches.
Especially in Denver. He always played us tough, but, I mean, that was just hard to watch. Going from getting our butts kicked in Denver in the championship game and then showing up on the getting our butts kicked again, you know, right away, that was a little tough.
Thanks for bringing that up, Matthew. It's a two-game losing streak now.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I'm sure I heard Vince on EEI. Things will be fine. They're gonna fix their issues. I don't see a reason why people should be jumping off the bridge anytime soon.
Right.
But it's just a little disheartening, and especially as a fan, you watch with your heart. You know, you're not a player. This isn't your job. It's not a profession. There's no money involved.
Correct.
All you can do is root with your heart.
Correct.
And it's a little disheartening, but they're gonna get it together. Everything is gonna be fine.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, and I appreciate your willingness to stick with it, because that's what it really is all about.
All right, thanks, John. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Matthew. Thank you for the call. Squeeze in a couple emails and go right back to the phones. Pete in Augusta, Maine says, like Bill said, good place to start is getting your fundamentals down, then add from there. We look this bad this coming Sunday again? Well, then something is drastically wrong with the personnel. How bad is Brady's calf? Again, we're seeing inconsistency from him. Nothing wrong with his calf, Pete. That was much ado about nothing. Read my column this week on the website, okay? Read my column. He says, my nitpick, why would you go away from Edelman? He's your bread and butter. I don't think they went away from him. I just think they couldn't get to him because Miami was recognizing the fact that that was the only guy that was doing anything. I don't think they went away from him at all. Mark in Saskatchewan, after that terrible game on Sunday, there's tons we could nitpick. Listening to PFW in Progress, the postgame show, my nitpick is fans and TV analysts. It's one game we lost to Miami last year in Miami, and we went to the AFC Championship game. They always lose a game to a division rival, game that they shouldn't, and one to a good team every season. Yeah, everyone is ready to call it a lost season. A few good teams lost this weekend, like the Saints, the Packers, the Bears, the Chargers. I don't hear about their season being over already. Well, maybe you need to go listen to radio in Chicago and San Diego and New Orleans today. Okay, I'm being flip. Sorry. They will be just fine. They all sucked last week. We'll see a great bounce back game in Minnesota this weekend. All right. See, Mark is also, definitely, trying to keep it on the positive here. Glenn, tweets this. Why a 3-4 when we don't have the right personnel? We had Tommy Kelly that can play 3-4 defensive end, but we let him go. Tommy, that's my issue too. I don't think we had the right personnel to play a 3-4. We've been gearing more toward a 4-3, and then we open up in a 3-4. Was that a surprise factor? I don't know. But for the blocking scheme that Miami had, they had to be licking their lips. And they were, because they kept giving the ball to No'Shawn Moreno, and he ripped us a new one. And then on top of that, the Patriots don't adjust. That's the thing that kills me. Honestly, the more I think about it, the more steam comes out from underneath my collar. Where were the adjustments? Because I didn't see any. Dave in Connecticut. Dave, welcome into the playbook.
Hey, Brooke, how we doing?
How we doing, Dave?
We're doing good. We're doing good. Well, let's start with this Ray Rice thing.
Go.
You know, you don't hit women. Everyone who morally, you know, I mean, you just don't do it. And, you know, I do agree with what you're saying that, you know, somewhere down the road, you know, he's going to need, you know, forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hope that team does pick him up. But, you know, I just don't think it's going to be New England. I really don't. I think that, you know, with our little issue with the man who's in the orange jumpsuit right now. Perhaps this won't go through that again, or put himself out there like that.
Well, and he said as much this morning, and that's fine, and I think we can respect that.
You know, and you know, I agree with what you're saying. I think that, you know, if his wife wants to stay with him, you know, I respect that. You know, maybe, you know, maybe that's all she knows. I don't know. Has this happened before? But behind closed doors? Who knows? We don't know. No one really knows what, you know, goes on behind closed doors. But obviously, when it's out in the public like that, you know, you have this guy for the 49ers who is going to be facing the same thing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're one of their D linemen just picked up for domestic violence. I think, you know, the NFL is trying to clear itself up and see if they do that. So, you know, you mentioned this Stallworth situation. You know, and it wasn't DUI. It was a DUI in Florida where he struck and killed that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then he ended up playing again. You know, who knows? You know, I mean, I think, you know, Michael Vick is the poster child for that. I mean, you know, he served his time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. So your point then, Dave, overall is what?
He's back in the league. I mean, you know, he served his jail time and he's back in the league. So I think, you know, hopefully, you know, Ray Rice is a good little player.
I'll tell you why I think, Dave, that there's probably more venom coming out toward a guy like Ray in this instance than maybe there was against a guy like Dante Stallworth. Or, hey, a good example here to me would be Michael Vick, because, you know, he was responsible for a bunch of, you know, for animals being killed, even though he might not have slaughtered them, you know, with his own hands. He certainly could have done something to stop it, and he did not. But the reason that I think this seems different to a lot of people is because we have videotape showing him in the act. Had we had videotape of Michael Vick slaughtering dogs, he wouldn't be in the NFL right now.
Yeah, drowning them and stuff.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen.
Absolutely.
No, that wouldn't happen. And had we had videotape of Dante plowing some, you know, innocent guy over, you know, in Miami, then I don't think he'd be where he is back, you know, now. So I think a lot of it is because of the shock factor involved here. And that's why, yeah, it's going to take some time, I think, and some space for people to come to grips with what happened. But let's give the guy an opportunity before we condemn him to a life of hell, because certainly he's already there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's definitely, I agree with you, he's a world of hurt right now, and, you know, and hopefully, you know, he'll be able to bounce. He's 28 years old, you know, hopefully he'll have an opportunity somewhere down the line and bounce back and be able to put behind him.
Yeah, put football and everything else aside. Let's hope that he gets his life in order and that his relationship and all of that stuff, his family are taken care of, you know, not only financially, but physically and mentally. And I think that's where, you know, the outpouring of concern probably should focus from here on in.
I agree with you 100%. And, you know, I mean, you know, my nitpicks.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say nitpicks. I'm going to say disappointment. I mean, it was just disappointing to see the tale of two halves. Okay, you know, we can, and I agree with you with the defensive alignment. I mean, it just didn't match up in that game. It's, you know, it was disappointing the coaching staff from the punter, from special teams to Brady. Everyone did not play as well as they should have played. Okay, or they're capable of playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in saying that, it's one game, okay? The last time that we lost a opening a home game, you know, for this, it was back in Buffalo.
Right.
0-3. Mm-hmm. Buffalo put a 31-0 shellacking on it.
Mm-hmm. We also lost the season opener in 0-1. And that also turned out to be a Super Bowl year. So, you know, it's ridiculous to think that one game is going to make a season.
No. And I think that, you know, the corrections need to be made. I mean, bottom line, the offensive line has to play a lot better or Tom is not going to make the season.
Well, that's absolutely 110% correct. Offensive line has to find some continuity, and then I get why, at least in the past especially, and we did see it on Sunday, that there's a rotation factor involved in the offensive line. But I think in this particular instance, we got to find our best guys and stick with it. I think there's got to be more continuity there. And I don't know if that's, you know, to blame on the offensive coordinator, the offensive line coach, or the fact that, you know, some guys are getting beaten like drums on that offensive front. You got to find the best guys and let them have a chance to become one, you know, a unit before you do any rotating. I think the rotation part is actually developed best in practice, and I think you're going to teach the versatility in practice. But when it comes down to winning football games, that should be – this is the pros, man. This is the pros where winning does matter. It's not – they're not out there just playing a game and hoping to learn from it and, you know, hey, I got to get up and go to class tomorrow. This is the pros. Guys are paid to win. And so because of that, if you don't put – it is their job. Just like you're paid to produce every day, and I'm paid to produce, we're all paid to produce in some form or fashion. If you're not producing, you're not in there. The game should not be a laboratory, okay? A game is supposed to be, you're supposed to be putting it out there, those that can put it out there. And I saw in the rotation that I saw amongst the offensive line men on Sunday, I saw, okay, let's try this.
Yeah, we're going to finish product.
Yeah, there was not a finished product, and that, again, is on the coaches, as I said, to open up the program today. They have to shoulder the blame here. They did not have their team ready.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. You know, and finally, here's a question for you. This kid, Fells, and it's not just, you know, Fells. I mean, a lot of receivers who the Patriots have picked up, and, you know, you can go Terry Hall, you can Chad Ofosinko, you can go down the line. No, don't seem to grasp the concept of the receiving dimension in New England. I know we have this kid. Is Times still on the team, right? He has that 4-game suspension.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still part of the team at this point?
Right now, he's just not eligible to be around here.
Right. I mean,
they'll have to make a roster move. They'll have to make a roster move to his benefit one way or the other. Eventually.
What do you think the possibilities from what this kid showed? I know it was preseason, and he was playing against twos and threes and guys that aren't even in the NFL right now, you know, compared to Fells, I think.
Well, I think you're going to have to let the next 3 weeks play out, and let's find out, you know, what happens to the guys in front of them. Because if there's a space or an opportunity for him, then I think they'll make some room for him. I think what's most likely going to happen is they'll probably make a move on the practice squad and put him in there, because I know they liked what he did in the preseason. But beyond that, it's just too hard to tell right now. He's still got 3 more weeks to go in his suspension.
All right, good to talk to you, John.
Dave, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate that. Gary in Ohio is up next here in the playbook. Hi, Gary.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Gary.
On the Ray Rice thing, here's what gets me about the whole thing. They suspended him for 2 games. What did they think happened in the elevator? You know, now all of a sudden this video comes out and it shows what happens, and then they let him go and suspend him indefinitely. I mean, what did they think happened?
Yeah, and Roger Goodell has said as much after the fact, that he feels like that they erred in the original suspension, that there had to be more than met the eye, and that maybe they were a little naive where that's concerned, and he's right about that. Now, what we need to find out, though, is whether or not somehow this is covered up, that someone in the NFL knew about this video beforehand, and they still ended up giving him just 2 games, thinking it would go away. And now that's an egregious error that somebody will pay with their livelihood for, if that ever is shown to be true. I don't know. I love a good conspiracy like the next guy. I hope for my NFL now, that is not the case. But I will allow that in this day and age, anything can happen, because cameras are everywhere. Like I said earlier, Gary, we live in the era of, you know, the novel and the movie 1984. Big Brother is already here and already watching us everywhere we go. You can't get away with something. And if you do, guess what? What goes around comes around.
Yep, that's true. And on the Patriots, I think what gets me the most is we were just exposed in all of our weaknesses. It's like, you know, like the preseason with our special teams issues, our offensive line, our defensive line last year, They just exposed every issue we have.
They absolutely
did. One issue. It ain't one issue. It's a whole lot of issues.
Yeah.
So how can you fix that in the course of one game?
That's...
I think this is going to take us a good part of the season to get this fixed. Hopefully, we can just string along some wins along the way.
Well, I think you have just absolutely hit nail on head stuff here, Gary. It looked like from the nature of it that we got all kinds of problems on the offensive front that's going to take some time to heal or some time better to work out. And like I said, game time is not the time to work this out. And then on the defensive front, I really think that defensively their problems were twofold. Number one, scheming was awful, and number two, their tackling was even more awful. Now, the tackling part can get better. Those guys are pros. They should know how to tackle, but some friendly reminders might also be of help and of a sense of urgency this week because, hey, Miami's guys knew how to tackle, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, then there's no reason for our guys not to know how to tackle the same way. And I'm talking about especially on the two late hits that Chandler Jones got nicked for. And that was one of my nitpicks that I wrote about in my column earlier today that, quite frankly, he should have known better. And if he didn't know better and he had his hands up and he had his palms open and he looked like he was questioning the official, why is that a penalty? Well, you guess what? It is a penalty, and shame on the coaching staff for not making it clear to you that that was a penalty in the first place. He should have known better.
Well, another thing, too, is this 3-4 scheme's got to go. I mean, we are not a 3-4 team.
No, we're not.
We don't have the personnel for it. I think we have a great 4-3 front. If you put Easley, Wilfort, Jones, Anikovic, that's our strength.
I think we'd have a better 4-3 front if they hadn't let Tommy Kelly go. But even though you let him go, okay, that's fine. Maybe you felt like what you had was at least every bit as good. That's fine. Then put the dadgum personnel set out there.
Yeah.
Right? And they didn't do that. They played a 3-4.
Yeah, this 3-4 has got to go. Hopefully, you know, he does something about it.
Yeah. I hope you're right. I hope at least we see some flexibility. I mean, if you're telling me that, you know, you're going to put Will Fork out there, and then you're going to put, you know, somebody else who can be a two-gap player on that line out there with him, okay. All right, that's fine. That's fine. Then we'll see the linebackers hopefully come up and fill the gaps and play that way. But that game clearly cried out for a change. And not only did they not change, it got progressively worse as the game went along.
I can't believe it. I mean, like you said, he's the best at adjusting, and there was no adjustment.
There was no adjustment.
It went to the worst.
No, it was.
At least we did something in the first half.
Yeah. Well, and he did something in the first half largely because Miami left the ball on the carpet.
You're right. You know, we played a terrible game from the get.
Well, we didn't play a great game, but we played good enough to take advantage of the mistakes that Miami gave New England. And then when Miami cleaned up their own end of the field, the Patriots didn't do anything, and Miami just blew by them. Blew by them. As 23-0 would indicate, right?
Yeah. All right, well, you have a good one.
Gary, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. Here is Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, John. How you doing, man?
Good, buddy.
I'm feeling like everybody else doing. I'm washing my wounds too and just bandaging them up.
But of course.
Getting to the Ray Rice, you know, when I first heard it, I thought they were just out to get it. But when I saw that film yesterday on the news, I got kind of mad because as a father, I got three daughters.
Sure.
If I'd have saw that, I'd have got them.
Yeah. I know you would have, and I feel the same way, Eldridge. If I'd had a daughter and that was my daughter, I'm coming after the guy. So I understand that, and that's the emotion in me because it's kind of like, how could anybody do that? How can anybody have the mindset that was okay?
And that's not okay.
No, it is not okay. But my whole point here, you know, to start the whole conversation today is that because we're such a forgiving society and because there's so much venom that's coming down on Ray Rice's head right now, guys without a job, hopefully he's okay. He should be if he's taking care of any of his money.
Money, he should be.
Then he should be fine. But he should also be given an opportunity to come back into society if he does what society asks him to do. And we should be still forgiven because we forgive drug abusers. We forgive other criminals. We forgive politicians for screwing us into the ground. Why can't we forgive Ray Rice?
Well, I would forgive him. And I would like to have him on the team, be honest with you. After a year or whatever, I would. If the running back situation is still the way it is now, you know, and if he still can perform. because he got to practice while he's out. He got to do something to stay in shape. But I want to correct some of the callers on Dante Stallworth. The reason why he got off, and he didn't serve no time, was it was a suicide. The dude walked in front of him. You know, he was drinking that night. He was driving. The dude walked. There was a witness, and his family even stood up for Dante. So that's how he got off.
You know what? That's fine. I understand that. That may very well be the case, because I vaguely recall the circumstances around that. Fact of the matter is, wrong place, wrong time.
Wrong place, wrong time. Right. Now, my nitpick for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Is okay. I know, going back to the previous show, they had a guy that wrote an email, and I agree with him 100%. Mr. Kraft should get a GM who knows young and aggressive talent. And take it from Bill. All these value picks and them Rucker players that just ain't panning out. I'm sorry. Only thing value picks good for is at McDonald's. For 1-8. That's the only thing it's good for.
Okay.
And as far as everybody has the line, if I was them right now, you don't have a guard and you don't have another, matter of fact, you don't have two guards. I would try to get a trade somewhere where somebody got a younger guard. Might be first string, might be good enough to be on second string, which is better than what we have. Defensive-wise, man, I mean, I don't know. To me, it looked like they gave up the second half. I mean, we don't have, like I said, we don't have the personnel on the line, defensive line. I never let Tommy Kelly go either. Yeah, I never let him go. Unless you got somebody to replace. And Salinga, Chris Jones, and whatever that big guy is, they're not the answer. They're just scrubs. Excuse my language. Just scrub. They just sucker place players. That's all they're gonna be for. Replacement players. You don't have nobody elite. And I know everybody was talking about we're gonna do this fast defense. Well, you got the same guys last year, except for a couple of adjustments, like Revis. Then you got Browner. You still got this little secondary, slow cornerback. You still got no shot at safety. So you got the same people, and it's the same result.
Okay.
And Brandon LaFell. I was telling them from day one, that's a $15 or $9 million mistake. We had a chance to get Patterson. You had a chance to get some more people before then that could have helped the team. While you sit right there at our pick. Bill decided to go the other way. And what I'm seeing is the other guys that we should have got, they on the field, they producing. The guys we got, they sitting back somewhere nursing a darn injury and ain't producing. When they are out on the field. And $36 million mistake to Amendola. I don't know why you believe Josh McDaniel. I'd have put that money somewhere else and got this Jackson. I'd have gave Vincent Jackson that money. If not him, somebody like him.
Okay.
Because I'll tell everybody, we can play a small ball all you want to. Everybody's catching up to that. Because the reason why they don't feel New England, you ain't got nobody on the outside that scares them. They ain't never had them except for Randy Moss. And Star Wars, and you ain't got him again. And throwing deep to LaFell and Edelman and Gronk. Gronk might be all right down the middle, but on the outside, he ain't got the speed to catch it. Neither the LaFell. That's not his game.
It's hard to argue with any of your points at this stage of the game, Eldridge. Hard to argue with it. Can't say that, you know, having somebody off the end like that to stretch your field wouldn't have made a difference. It certainly might have, but, you know, I think Miami's daring them to do that, and Miami gambled, and they gambled correctly. Here's Ken in Carolina. Ken, thanks for hanging on. You're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good, Ken.
Hey, thank you.
For?
I think we got a problem with our coach.
Well, now, wait a second. I'm not willing to go that far. I'm willing, however, to say that was not a poorly that was a poorly conceived plan of attack.
Well, and you know, if nothing works at all, and nothing worked, I mean, we weren't in condition. These guys were not in condition to go to Florida. We saw that back in. When they were in Richmond. You know, I've seen in the past where he would put them in sweatsuits and heat up the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys just were not properly prepared to go down there.
You know, it may also be, and I'm sure, Ken, this has probably dawned on others that cover the league and follow the league, whether you're a fan or a media member or what have you. But because of the new collective bargaining agreement between players and owners requiring or not requiring the players to have two-a-days any longer in training camp, or only, two days a week, whatever it is, that they can only put, that they can only, you know, hit each other and have on full pads during training camp. I wonder if that doesn't benefit players and teams who traditionally are in warmer climes to start a camp early in the season, especially a team like Miami, whose home games are obviously, you know, steamy hot early in the year, that if they have home games early in the year, they're going to be ahead of everybody else.
And I also think that is detrimental to the players, having these limits on how much pads, you know, the preparation that they can get.
Well, the players ask for that, okay? So, that, you know, that then the players, are the, they're the player, players are at
why
fault.
They ask for it. You know, there was a day when I used to play football, too. However, fact of the matter is, and I've heard several of the players say, you know, we're not in a condition like we used to be when we had the two-a-days.
Mm-hmm.
However, be that as it may, we were not prepared either for this game, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't like the trades we have made. I don't like Kelly going. And, yes, I heard him say, you know, I kind of asked for it. Well, if that's the case, then I think the coach needs to sit down with a player and say, hey, you're reading this wrong. If you really want to go away, obviously you have that option. However, this is not what the intention is. So there's a loss of communication there, too. That disturbs me deeply. Listen, I am... always have been, always will be. I mean, since 1960, I'm an old guy. Since 1960, I've been a Patriots fan. And it's never going to leave that.
Mm-hmm.
But this really, what I saw on Sunday, I don't mind losing games. I mean, we lose games. But what I saw there, just, I could not, the first half, I thought we played like a mediocre team, and we were ahead. And then we came out and just gave it away.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't play.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's the one thing that's the most disturbing, Ken, is there was no adjustment, there was no life, there was no, they just kind of withered on the vine, and I'm wondering if the preparedness factor was just at too low an ebb to be able to do anything about it.
I think so, and, you know, maybe that is they're believing those of us that are the diehard fans or the media or whatever. But they have to, I mean, you can't go out. I don't care where you're going. I mean, I was mentioning in the earlier show, we're going to Minnesota. It's cold in Minnesota, right?
Well, they're in a dome now, so.
I know, but, I mean, that's the point, is that I don't care where you go. The weather is never going to be perfect.
Right.
So,
right.
Let's, you know, get prepared for where we're going.
I hope that they can. Ken, thank you very, very much for the phone call. Let's do a little reset here. Let's get in one commercial break at least, and we get right back to the phones. We also will continue with your emails, your tweets, and your Facebook posts as well. Patriots Playbook, Nitpick Tuesday here on Patriots.com Radio. I'm sure that you have your nits to pick from the loss in Miami on Sunday. If you haven't had your chance to get your feelings and your thoughts off your chest, now's the time to do that. If you have some thoughts on the Ray Rice story that has certainly been front and center, it led the national newscast in this country yesterday, in fact, as well. I'd love to get your thoughts and whether or not you don't feel like maybe at some point, if the Patriots were the ones to step up and forgive first and offer him an opportunity. Now, Mr. Kraft has already said that's not going to happen. He said that this morning on CBS this morning. But if the Patriots were to step up and do that, how would you feel about that? Love to get your thoughts on that as well. Several ways, again, to reach us in the program. Toll-free telephone, 855-PATS-500. Web radio at patriots.com. The email at JRBroadcaster on Twitter. And we'll get a couple of tweets coming up. At JRBroadcaster and then John.Rook on Facebook, where my friend Mary Beth says the O-line, or lack of it, was her big nitpick from Sunday. Yeah. Lack of it is probably more like it, Mary Beth. You're in the playbook right here on Patriots.com Radio.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Didn't like what you saw from the hometown team last Sunday?
Fourth and 10 for the Patriots. A last gasp. Brady from the gun. Again, a four-man rush for the Dolphins. Tom Higgins releases. Ball comes loose. And another sack by Wink. The Dolphins can start celebrating.
Well, John didn't either.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook. Phone in your nitpicks on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email them to webradio@patriots.com. Now back to the nitwit, I mean nitpick master himself, John Rook.
Yep, that's me. That's why our View from Above column on patriots.com, which some of you know now, has started on Tuesdays. It's also referred to now as Nitpicks and Nitwits. We try to not only pick a few of the nits from the previous game on Sunday, as we've done here on this particular radio show every Tuesday now for the last 13. This is our 14th year doing it. But we also point out some of the nitwittier things that were said about the game by members of the media or by fans or by players or athletes or what have you. And so Nitpicks and Nitwits will be a part of our View from Above column on here on the website for the course of the regular season. And so invite you to check it out and let me know what you think. And then, of course, we can talk about it right here on the program. All right, back again, 855-PATS-500, webradio@patriots.com, the Twitter handle at JRBroadcaster, and John.Rook on Facebook. Ivan from Orlando says, the one position group I was pretty happy with in this game was the secondary. We severely limited Brian Hartline, limited Charles Clay once again. Nobody really got going in the passing game save for Mike Wallace, and some of that's attributed because Bill thought it was all right to put Jamie Collins on Wallace on crossers and then expect him to make plays in the running game. Revis needs to consistently shadow top receivers to limit them. Our defense isn't Seattle's, where we can play sides like with Sherman and Maxwell. And Ivan, that's actually a pretty good point by you. He says, I'm also happy with how we swarmed and hit hard in the first half. I think in Minnesota, where the weather is fairer, we'll play much better in both halves on defense. Phil in Sussex, England says, is everybody more upset about this loss because they're not used to seeing the Pats lose the opener? Because we've seen them lose games like this pretty much every year. Would people react the same if this was a defeat in early October? I'll start panicking if we have a similar performance in the next few weeks. It's also a good point. Louie in Florida says, with the Ray Rice news and release from the Ravens and Bernard Pierce's benching, do you think we could trade Ridley to them for a lineman of some sort? Nope. That's not going to happen. Whether you like it or not, Ray Rice, and whether or not you think he deserves a second chance, and ultimately he will get that, whether you want him to get it or not, he will get it. He should get it. But it won't happen for a while, and it's not going to happen in New England. Mr. Kraft did come out this morning on CBS this morning and say that wouldn't happen. And then I've already seen a couple of websites take Mr. Kraft to task for that and some of the people that he hangs with. So, just got to be careful what you say and what you do. And when you do something, be consistent with it. And when you mess up, admit you messed up and move on. It's about the only thing that you can do these days. Because there's just too much out there. People are going to find out one way or the other. Dan in Virginia, after games like that, does Belichick come out to practice with 53 saddles and the world's sharpest set of spurs? Or does he come out dressed completely in black leather and a whip and full complement of ball gags? Okay. Probably should do the latter, not the former. Juvenile says, I was at the game, 400 sex, and yes, it was hot, but suck it up. Last caller left with 740 to go because he gave up on the team, not because of the heat. I was there from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. Yes, once again, went home disappointed, but I'm not giving up on the team. Never. We will improve. Winning the game, Miami fans think they've won the Super Bowl. So pathetic. I can't wait for payback. All right, that's fair. Chad says, guys, really hate bringing up the past, but what scheme did the Giants in 07 play? A 3-4 or 4-3? Because if I remember correctly, they played the same scheme the Pats did Sunday. Difference between their front seven and ours is speed. You can't play the NASCAR defense without having speed. Vince is 350 pounds plus. We need speed. Okay. That's actually a pretty good point, too. Jeff. For the love of Pete, everyone needs to chill out. We're a top five team in the NFL. Everyone's ready to fire Brady, Belichick, and Kraft. They lost one game. They had a bad game. How many seasons have we seen Buffalo win the first, like, five games of the year just to go on and suck? How many times have the Jets made the playoffs just to suck? How many times have we heard the division goes through Miami? We're starting to sound like Steeler fans. Those who live in Western PA know what I'm talking about. They lose one game and they whine like there's a Texas-sized asteroid heading towards Earth. They'll turn on Tomlin this year. You watch. Get a helmet. It's a long season. We have a first ballot Hall of Famer at quarterback. Brady built the stadium. He plays as long as he likes. Accept it. Have some friggin' patience. How ungrateful. Wow. That's a pretty good email, actually. Kind of like that. Your thoughts are welcome. Webradio at patriots.com. Or if you want to send a tweet at JR Broadcaster, want to hit me up on Facebook, John.Rook on Facebook. Here's our friend Olivier in Virginia. Thanks for hanging in, Olivier. Welcome back into the playbook. Good, man.
Great to hear from you again.
Thanks for being here.
I was calling because I wanted to share my thoughts on what happened on Sunday. So, number one, it's a loss. Not the end of the world. It happens, and we have a history of having of being challenged when we go down to Miami. Now, the thing that concerns me, if there is any ground to be concerned, is A, do we have the talent to be able to compete, especially to be able to improve during the season and to get better and better and transform our woes and our weaknesses into strength and start winning? But B, do we have the talent to be able to compete when it matters the most, which is at the end of the year, and mm-hmm. hopefully during the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And when I look at our competition in this division, not in the East, but in the AFC, I look at what the Broncos seem to have done, again, with one game sample, which is not very much, but it looks like they have improved, and they played a team, the Colts, that's on paper, should be pretty good. Now, is the Colts, are they that good, or are the Broncos that good? We're not sure yet. But when I look at Manning play, I see a quarterback that is protected, and that can actually flourish and use his best attributes and his best skills.
Yep.
Then when I look at poor Brady, he gets massacred all the time, and this is like year after year the same issue it seems, and I'm not necessarily understanding why. We don't try to protect our best asset in the game for us to have a chance to be successful during games where we're not very good. But if Brady is protected, he's got more confidence and he's less hurt, and he can actually make his throws, hopefully, better, and then it gives us a chance to actually score. Because at the end of the day, if Brady is healthy and Brady throws well, we do win. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on, do we think that we have enough talent, or do we have to make more trades? I don't even know if it's possible. I know we've been working on a running back for Miami, but what type of, if you were the coach for a day, what would you do?
Well, that's a great question. In fact, I might have to steal that and ask that of our listeners tomorrow, Olivier. If you were coach for a day, what's the first thing you'd fix? To answer the first part of your question, yes, I don't think that everybody could be that wrong to think that there was no talent here. There is talent here. There has been talent here for some time. And I think most everybody realizes that there's talent here, which is why when I opened up the program today, I basically laid all the blame. Certainly the players have to compete and they have to go out there and perform. But I put a good heaping portion of the blame pie here in the coaches' hands, because I just don't think that they had the right game plan, nor do I think they had the players properly prepared to play this Miami team based on what we saw from Miami on Sunday.
Good news, because that's fixable.
Well, I think it is. But you still got to go out and do it. And if you don't do it over, say, a 2 or 3 week period, then your season's, you know, down the crapper. So you have to get, even in a 17 week regular season, you still must get things fixed as quickly as possible, because I think you've seen the track record of teams that are 0-2 to start the year, you know, winning a Super Bowl. It's not good. It's not good. You know, 0-1 is overcomable, but it seems like 0-2, for some reason, is really hard to do. So in that regard, I mean, could you be a trendsetter and overcome it? I suppose you could. Anything is possible.
We don't want to be in that position.
No, you don't want to put yourself in that position, because you know that things are going to happen. People are going to get hurt. It's just a violent sport, and things are going to happen that sometimes you just don't have any control over. But I don't think so many people could be so wrong about this team not having talent, because they do have talent. It just was not put in a position to win. Yes. Bill Belichick said as much in the immediate aftermath, after the game on Sunday. You know, he hardly says anything in those post-game press conferences after the Patriots lose a game. It's painful to listen to. But he did say, we didn't play well enough and we didn't coach well enough. We got to do a better job preparing and coaching. He did say that on Sunday. I gleaned that from his short, sweet, mercifully short comments after the game on Sunday. And he's 110% correct. You got to do a better job of preparing your guys. The game plan stunk. It was terrible. It seemed like they had no clue what was coming at them. And then when they knew what was coming at them, they didn't adjust. And to me, those are the two biggest flummoxing occurrences from Sunday that I can possibly come up with. And I just created a word there for you, Olivier. But I just, I don't get it. That was as big a head scratcher as I've had in a long time.
Just kidding.
What's that?
Was it the word of the day?
Yeah, I miss Eric. I don't know. I mean, today's Eric's day off anyway, but I miss him. That flummox should be the word of the day. So, yeah, we might have to work on that one.
You know, Philbin said something interesting in his press conference, or in one of the interviews that he gave. He said that, well, you know, the Patriots should have, you know, expected what we did. It was not rocket science. You know, they should have expected what we were going to do. That's even more of an indictment on the fact that maybe the team was not you know, prepared. But for the second point, you know, this is a game. Now that this, you know, this can be adjusted, hopefully. But you know, do we have what it takes to be able to implement the hopes that we have, knowing that our best asset, Brady, is, you know, is getting older? It's always the same question, and it's always the same rhetoric as to why don't we make sure we get as much talent as we can. And maybe it's difficult to do because of the cap and all of that stuff, and there are stuff that we don't know, but you know, you got to protect that asset. It's so obvious that the offensive line must do a better job, and we cannot use young players so they can grow in their future role and put Brady in peril. And if it's the case, then, you know, the aspiration for the season will be drastically undermined.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Olivier. There's a part of me that wants to admonish, and there's another part of me that wants to say what I've gotten a lot of, emails and even tweets on today is, you know, hey, it's one freaking game. Let's not go off the deep end.
And I agree. It's just one game, and hopefully we can adjust and then we move on. But we have to be careful not to get, you know, Brady hurt at the beginning of the season. Like, he got, how many times did he get sacked? 4 times?
And yeah.
He hit 6 or 7 times?
Well, that's why I have a fundamental disagreement, respectfully. I mean, I'm not out there coaching, but I've been around the game long enough to know that just, to me, I think there, when you have a veteran line, you got guys that, you know, are interchangeable. I think it's fine to interchange those pieces of that puzzle during the course of a game, because guys are used to doing it. But when you have a young, relatively inexperienced line, and when you're starting someone who had never started an NFL game before, when you know already the focus is going to be on attacking that line like it's an Achilles heel because you're missing Logan Mankins and you're still shuffling the deck, that reeks of panic more than anything else. I mean, even if it's going poorly, stick with what you got and then work on this issue in practice, man. You can't work on this during a game because you're going to get your butts beat. And that's exactly what we saw happen. And on top of that, the two spin moves that I saw Cameron Wake completely school Nate Solder on were embarrassing.
Yeah, I know. know.
And so when you're reliable, when you're relying on your, you know, your number one tackle to keep that guy out of the backfield and he can't do that, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it was just an abysmal failure and you got to put that on coaching.
Yeah. 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 You know, when you want to, you know, to use a new offensive line as practice during a game, you better have a young quarterback that can take a lot of different hits so everyone can grow from there. But
how about some mobility? And I think that's the one complaint that anybody has ever had of Tom Brady, is the fact that he's just not mobile. I mean, early in the game when the Patriots, you know, had an opportunity, I think it was the opening drive of the game. He had a first down had he run with the ball. Instead, he decided to throw the ball and he missed the target and the Patriots were 3 and out on the opening series of the game. And I came right up out of my chair and I said, you should have run the ball.
Yeah.
Because he had it. All he had to do was slide forward. He'd have gained 3 or 4 yards and he'd have had the first down. Instead, he decides to throw it over the middle and it's an incompletion.
When you mention, you know, that there is some blame in the coaching, is there also an association of coaching with player leadership within the locker room as well as on in the game? Because I don't disagree with the Mankins trade. I think it's always better to trade a depreciating asset when that asset still has a lot of
has some value.
Tank.
Correct.
The opposite.
Yeah.
So, but. You know, the offside of that argument is, what are we losing in terms of leadership? And I wonder if the coaching staff is expecting the same type of extension of themselves on the field through leadership of the players.
That's a valuable question. I think it's one worth asking. And I think perhaps then in this instance, first of all, Logan wasn't what I would call a vocal leader. He was one of those guys that was a little bit quieter, even though he certainly had some vocal moments, I think, as we've seen on the field in the past. But even if the coaches depend on those players, those veteran guys to do that, when you get rid of a veteran presence like that in the locker room, it's upon the coaches, I think, largely to make sure that someone steps in and picks up the slack. And if they don't, then the coaches need to do that. Now, I think there's also a certain sense of the coaches saying, well, you know, this is not college. This is the pros. These guys are paid to do a job. We expect them to do their job. In fact, that's a mantra amongst the team here. You know, do your job. And that's certainly been a Patriots mantra for a long, long time. But I think when you let somebody go that has meant so much to your franchise for so long because of the business factor, as you put it, kind of, then I think the coaches need to make sure that, you know, guys don't lose sight of the fact that it's incumbent upon everyone to step up and be vocal.
And maybe this is the most valuable lesson that the team has received after this defeat, is to say we are missing Logan now. We have next man up. We have to step up, and maybe it's an opportunity for people to grow in their new roles. And before I go, I know today is Nitpick Tuesday, but let's finish this call with positive Tuesday.
Okay.
What are we to look forward to for this game and the following game, knowing the DNA of this team and this coaching staff and the talent that we have?
Based on the past, Olivier, this team certainly won't take this laying down. This will be a miserable week of practice for especially the veterans on this team, because they don't like getting their butts handed to them. So I do expect a good week of practice. I expect absolutely them to come out on fire at Minnesota. But that doesn't mean that Minnesota isn't going to be equal to the task. And that's the biggest thing.
John, also the good news is that it happened on the first game of the year.
True. And you're right.
December.
Yep.
And the good news is that we can all learn from meaning the team and the new players and even the veterans with their new players and their new colleagues can learn from it. And hopefully they can build from it.
True.
And then they can, you know, they can use this as a very valuable lesson to move forward.
True. Okay, that's a good positive way to end it.
I will let you go.
Thanks, Olivier.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Max in San Diego. Max, you're up next in the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing? Good to hear from you again.
Thank you, Max. Same to you.
Thanks a lot, man. Hey, listen, I'm going to make this quick because I know you got a lot of cats you want to get to, and I'm sitting here at work on my lunch break, so I'm going to make it brief.
No worries.
Point number one, bro. There are a lot of fans out here in San Diego. A lot of us, our fan club has done nothing but grow. We're about 255 plus now. We're huge.
That's great.
And, yeah, you ought to come out and hang out with us.
I would love to.
For the December game.
I would love to. Trust me, I would love to.
Oh, man, we'd love to have you. About a quarter of us are going to the San Diego game.
So super.
Huge.
Outstanding.
You'll look for our flag on TV. You're going to see it. You'll see our little flag out there with all of our battle streamers on it.
Good.
And you'll dig it. Trust me, you'll dig it.
Nice.
I only got 2 points. Point number one is very, very simple. I'm hearing a lot of crosstalk across Patriot Nation about cats talking about, oh yeah, we need to trade Brady. We need to get rid of Belichick, that kind of stuff. Let me just tell y'all right now, especially if you're listening. If you're listening, turn up your radio sets because I'm only going to say it once. You're starting to piss me off. Knock it off. Pump the brakes. Trade Brady. What are you smoking? Because whatever you're smoking, you need to give me a little bit of it because obviously you can get it for free. If you're gonna be a fair weather fan, put your Chargers jersey on and come out here. 90% of Chargers fans out here are fair weather as hell. If they're playing good, oh, yeah, we're going to the Super Bowl. If they're not playing good, oh, my God, they suck. They take the jersey off, throw it, stomp it on the ground, and light it on fire. Are you serious? You're going to be – stop being a whiny, crying baby. You're not Phil Crimea Rivers. Okay? Knock it off. You already know what the problems are. Bill's going to fix it, and so is the team. That's what they're there for. That's what they do. That's why they've won championships, and that's why they went 31 – that's why they lost 31-0 back in 04, got their ass kicked, excuse my language, in Buffalo. And then went on to win the Super Bowl. Seriously? Come on, guys. That's point number one.
Okay.
Point number two, and this is my little nitpick right here, and this is actually kind of a major nitpick. Did you hear Christian Fourier talking about how the line left Brady sitting there on the ground when he got sacked on his second and eight play?
Yeah.
Yeah, that should, I'm sorry, but that should piss every fan off.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Nobody went back there to pick him up, yeah.
No, you see what I'm saying? That was disgraceful. That was just, it was disgraceful. Not only just because it was the New England Patriots, but think about the name, Patriot. You know, as a retired Marine, you don't leave somebody on the ground. I mean, I know that's warfare and all, but, you know, think about it. Think about it further than that. You just don't do that. Not to the quarterback. You don't do that. So I hope they got reamed for that, and I hope they fix it, and I hope the next time, God forbid, he ever gets touched again, I hope they're all up in the defensive line's face. Oh, really? You going to touch my quarterback? Next play, I got something for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, that's a great point, and that's a great nitpick, Max, because I had actually kind of overlooked that, I guess because of my general disgust with the way that the second half unfolded. It just kind of left a malaise over everything. But I think that absolutely encapsulates the entire effort on Sunday, what you just said, when he was on the ground and nobody went up to pick him up. I remember that. And I remember thinking at the time, where the hell is someone to help him up off the ground? I remember thinking that very thing. That's a great point by you. And I think part of that is probably because this team was so flummoxed. I've used that word two or three times now today. This team was so completely flummoxed at the way that things were unfolding that they were in a fog. And again, I'm going to put the blame for that on the coaching staff for not having them prepared properly.
Okay. All right. Get it. Well, I got you. Now let me.
No, no. I think your point is well taken. That should not happen.
No, not at all. I just wanted to let them know, hey, I hope they're listening too. Guys, I respect the crap out of you, but let me just tell you one time and one time only. But I am not going to say this again. Don't you ever, 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 ever do that again to my quarterback. That's all I got to say. Thanks, John.
Well said, Max. That's a great point by you. Trey is up in Memphis, or down in Memphis, as the case may be. Trey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You're in the playbook.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good, Trey.
Man, it was very hard, man, to really watch the game. I was really surprised that we were dominated on both sides of the football. And, you know, looking at, you know, our schedule, man, we play a lot of teams that can get after the quarterback, man, and they can run the football. So, I mean, you know, if we don't get it together, man, I mean, you know, it's kind of sad to say. I mean, if we're going to put that kind of effort, man, you know, week in and week out against teams that's going to be physical, I mean, man, we're not going to – I mean, it's sad to say, you know, people are going to say I'm crazy, but, man, we may not even make the playoffs, let alone, you know, win the division. And we're going to continue to show up and just play like this.
Well, so you're 100% right if they continue to play like that. You're right. There ain't going to be anybody on their schedule that they're going to beat. But I think what you have to kind of look at here is in the past, based on past history – that this team has learned how to adapt. This team has corrected its problems. And usually, way more often than not, Trey, they've learned from their mistakes, they've corrected them, and they've gone on to great success. Certainly, under this current coaching staff, they've done that.
John, but think about it, though. I mean, this is something, I mean, that, you're right about the comment that you just made, but, man, but think about it. We've been preaching this the last 10 years, man. You know, we're living off of what we've done, you know, 10 years ago, which was winning the Super Bowl a decade ago. And it's getting old. And I mean, you know, while we're wasting time, you know, correcting mistakes, I mean, you know, we're not really progressing because, I mean, we only get better only to get dominated in the postseason. You know, and in the Super Bowl.
Well, then that comes back, Trey, to fundamental. That comes back to a fundamental way of thinking. I mean, you have to admit this team has been competitive, but they have not been able to get over the hump. So, what would you rather have? Would you rather have it, say, the way that Dallas Cowboy fans have been treated? Would you rather have it the way that Buffalo Bills fans have been treated, or would you rather be relevant every year?
You're right. I mean, I'd rather be relevant, man. I mean, you know, Brady's 37 years old,
right?
And so. I mean, how much more time does he need? You know, I mean, of course, like I said, I would love to see him win another Super Bowl, John. I mean, and what you said is right. I mean, you know, I enjoy, you know, being relevant and being competitive. I mean, but man, you know, Brady's not getting any younger.
Agreed, and I think that you share the frustration of just about every fan that follows this football team. It is great to be relevant. It's great to be competitive. It's great to be thought of as a contender every year. But when do we get over the hump?
Exactly.
And you thought that maybe this was the year based on what you saw in the offseason, and then to lay a big stinking egg like they did on Sunday in Miami just kind of takes everybody back to square one, and it's like getting hit in the solar plexus. You've had the wind taken out from underneath you.
Yo, this is my last thing, man, and I know you got to end the show. I think that losing Sunday the way we did is a good thing because, you know, you just listen to, and I think a lot of the younger players that's on the team, you know, they've been sitting up listening to how great this defense is going to be. And they crowned us top five before the season even started. So, I mean, you know, I think, you know, it's a good wake-up call, and I really would love to see, you know, Bill just kind of, you know, just simplify the defense because I think what's going on, John, you know, the team is really overthinking.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, but that's all I want to say, man. You know, you have a good day.
Thank you, Trey. Appreciate the call. You made some good points, and the last one I certainly think is the best one. You're right. You can't – well, you got to sit there and wonder at some point, when are you going to get over the hump? When are you going to get over the hump? And, that's, you know, I just giving it some thought. I can understand the frustration over that. Everybody wants relevancy, but, you know, you got to understand that it's just different around here. It absolutely is different around here. And I understand the frustration that you're feeling and that you're showing. Let me continue with some other emails here. Chad from Watertown, South Dakota says, here's my biggest concern so far this year has to be the departure of Logan Mankins and the struggles of the offensive line. What's going to be done to protect Tom Brady? Also, my other thing is we need a running game to protect Tom with his age now. Use the run game to set up the pass. I've heard that somewhere before. If you can touch on this, it would be great. I'm going to the Minnesota game this weekend. This is the only time I get to see the Pats every 8 years that they come to Minnesota, being that I live in South Dakota. Just hope to not be embarrassed in Minnesota this coming Sunday. Chad, I don't think you'll be embarrassed. I hope that you find the team at least comes out and performs. Hopefully they'll perform better than they did this last week in Miami, because I don't think they performed up to their capability. I don't think any of those players would tell you that they performed up to their capability this last week. Running game, yes. But I don't think it's the backs themselves. I think it was the fact that there just wasn't much that the offensive line did positive, whether it was run blocking or pass blocking. They didn't do much of anything. Now, If that's on, you know, Coach DeGuglielmo, then who knows? But rightfully, there's got to be some focus there, and there's got to be some fixing, and I'm assuming, and some correcting. I'm assuming that Coach Belichick will be a part of that this week. There also has to be, I think, some continuity. I think you got to figure out who your best five are, and without an injury happening, I think you got to stick with the best five, and the best five are going to play. And then if an injury happens, well, then you insert, you know, next man up. But until we get to that point where these guys can truly be flexible in jumping up and down the line, I think you got to go to the best that you got. I think what we saw from the left side was pretty accurate in having Solder at tackle, and you had Marcus, last name, help me, 61.
Marcus Cannon?
Thank you, Cannon. God, why can I never remember Cannon? You had Marcus Cannon filling in left guard, and then you had Ryan Wendell at center, you had Dan Connolly at right guard, and you had Seabass at right tackle. Now, I realized that there was some back and forth between Connolly and Wendell because Wendell was getting beat like a rented mule over the top, which he shouldn't have been. And then you had problems with, you know, speed rush around the end on the two tackles. And so that's why there was a shuffling of the deck. Well, these guys aren't getting it done, or these guys got hurt, or what have you, and so we got to put somebody else in there. And I think that's where you got to get back to basics. And if these guys are having trouble with the rush, then you got to be willing to defeat that rush by pounding it up the middle and taking advantage of putting the ball and running where the other team isn't. Either that or put something off the end. How about a little counter tray that runs right at Cameron Wake? I mean, is that in the playbook? Seems to me the best way to knock a guy off his stride is to run right at him. Make him defend you. I didn't see one example of that. Maybe it's just my naivete, but I got to tell you, I've been around the game long enough to know that sometimes that's how you get control of things. Even if you have to sacrifice, you know, a possession, and maybe things were spiraling downward to the point where they didn't feel like they could sacrifice a possession of the ball in the second half. But I got to tell you, to me, in my past, if some guy's whipping me, I got to run right at him because I got to make him tackle me. If he's whipping my tackle and my tackle's having a hard time defending the guy and keeping him off, you know, then the next time I have a running down, I'm not going to run away from him. I'm running at him. That's how you do it. Run at him. Jeez, you know, put James Devlin in there and let him knock a blocker off or two. I'm just saying. Austin says, John, Rice is a 30-year-old running back in the NFL. No one will sign him because he's done as a player. I thought he was just 28. I didn't think he was 30 yet. I don't think he's necessarily done as a player either, but okay. You certainly can agree to disagree. With regards to the Pats, I still think this team will win the division, barely, but will come up short in the playoffs again. Unless the play of the offensive line changes dramatically, I'm concerned for the health of our quarterback, and we just don't seem to have enough at pass rush. My main concern is that we are what we are, and nothing magically is going to change that balance of the year. I guess we'll see how well they bounce back on Sunday, if they do. Well, nothing like putting a pin in the balloon there, Austin. Okay, let's see. All right, that one we got to. What else do we have here? John in South Carolina. I like how our offensive line does its best impression of a revolving door, and our entire defensive line gets run over like high school kids playing pros, and the first nitpick is about Brady and third downs. My nitpicks are coaching and line play. It's hard to evaluate Brady because of how bad the line played in front of him. The line was also the reason we couldn't run the ball. John, I'm going to agree with you. It was 109 on the field before the start of the game, probably way above that after the game. I live in South Carolina. I can tell you the humidity and the heat sucked the life out of you, and that is just what the Pats looked like. I know it's no excuse, but I'm willing to watch another game before I panic. About Ray Rice, screw him and the horse he rode in on. Knocking your wife out is not an accident or a slip-up. It's a flaw in Ray Rice as a person. I saw the earlier videotape, thought maybe she was drunk, and we don't really know what happened, so I wasn't going to judge him. Then I saw the second video. He closed-fisted, knocked his wife out, has to earn forgiveness. And really, that's my point, John. He needs to be given the right to earn that forgiveness. He needs to begin by helping himself and keeping his hands off of his wife, and then maybe he can earn that. But we, as a fandom, we as fellow humans, we as a public, we do that for everybody else. We do that for drug offenders. We do that for common criminals. We do that for steroid abusers in the pros. We do it for a lot of other people. So we should do it for Ray Rice too, or otherwise we're being hypocritical. John says, I have no problem with his career as a football player being lost. Perhaps he'll become a better person in his next career. He deserves no breaks, no forgiveness. He violated a basic trust. Not only did he hit a woman, but he violently damaged the person he's pledged to love and cherish. Doesn't matter if his wife forgives him or not. He's being judged as a failure, and I agree. Well, see, John, that's where you're wrong. It's got to be between him and his wife. You can certainly have the opinion that you have. You're entitled to it. But yes, it does matter if his wife forgives him. It absolutely does, because then he can't continue on in the relationship. So it's not for you to stand and judge. You just said that. I'm not going to judge him in your previous paragraph. Well, then stay true to that and don't judge him and give him an opportunity to earn the forgiveness, which, again, you said in your email. Let's see. What else do we have here? Gabe says, John, well, not the best start to the season. But what do you expect, having traded your all-pro guard and then not having the new offensive line really practiced together? Looked like wet noodles blocking. Yes, I agree there were no real adjustments made, but I tell you there were some costly penalties at very inopportune times. I mean, I understand the NFL wants to protect the quarterback. How many times were phantom headshots called? Well, I don't know if they were so much phantom headshots, Gabe, as that, you know, the Patriots did go up and did make contact to the head and the neck area, and you cannot do that. You didn't see Miami do that against New England. Our guys need to learn what is legal and what is not. And I put that on the coaching staff, if not the players themselves. Gabe says, it's always tough against the Dolphins down there. I remember the game that Brady looked terrible, tried to throw a pass when he was sitting on the ground. He got sacked a lot in that game, too. But they wound up being 14-2 that year, I think. I think it's just the Dolphins down there at home. As far as Ray Rice, the NFL just messed that all up. They should have suspended him 8-10 games automatically and then figured it all out. Says, I'm going to try my hardest not to judge on these Pats until the fourth game. Okay, I think that's fair. Absolutely fair. Nikhail in Santa Fe, Texas. I've never seen so much overreaction over a loss. Does anyone honestly believe this team won't win at least 12 games? I had us winning 12-4, dropping games, Miami, Jets, Packers, Lions. Looking forward to seeing them bounce back against Minnesota. Gronk's TD and Tom's reaction was the best part of the game. The next best thing is Bill's answers to the media and all the awkward silence. We love you, Bill. You crack us up. We expect so much from our team. We can't accept defeat. That's because our team is a great team. We forget. We need to lose sometimes to win again and again and again. And to all Patriots haters, you are all, well, I won't say that, but we need to rejoice on the Patriots' loss on week one. Aaron says, John, I understand Mankin's trade was a money issue, but his absence was definitely felt on Sunday. Would Pat's brass pick up incognito, or would that be a PR nightmare? You just answered your own question, I think. I'm a little surprised someone hasn't given him a shot yet. Someone may still yet. Aaron says, all I know is Brady needs protection. If he takes 3 or 4 hits per game, he's not going to finish the season. Can't disagree with that. That's why you got to go with the best 5 and stick with them and forget this rotation stuff. I thought at least one of the roughing the passer calls was warranted, but a lot of the calls seemed to be lopsided. The hit on Jimmy Wilson especially seemed like a ticky-tack call. In any case, the Pats gave the game away due to the avoidable penalties. But do you think there was an air of home team partiality to the officiating on Sunday? Not at all. I think there was just an air of stink surrounding the Patriots and their overall ability to play the game. Howard in Stratford, Connecticut. John, that game harking back to the game when I believe it was Al Groh took the game ball in his shovel and buried the ball after a horrendous game. I also recall a game where Romeo Crennel, after a horrible game, said, bad day at the office. Look, that was as bad gets across the board from BB through every coach right down to the 48th guy suited guy on the field that day. Coaches didn't put players in position to make plays, and when they did, the players didn't make them. between missed blocks, missed tackles, missed open receivers. That's a complete team loss. Biggest area of concern from all is that the offensive line, or is the offensive line. Yes, the run D is suspect, but if they, the offensive line, can't keep Brady upright with enough time to see or read the entire field and get the ball to the open receivers, then this is going to be a very long season. This is one of those games that needs to be learned from and then forgotten. Todd in Jacksonville. Oh, where do I begin? First, let's begin with the Ray Rice issue. To answer your question, no, I don't want to see Ray Rice in a Pats uniform. And to go a bit further, I don't want to see Richie Incognito in a Pats uni either, even with the offensive line woes. Mr. Kraft is a fantastic businessman, a brilliant marketer. I believe he said what he said about Rice because he's looking at his brand, the Patriots. Ever since Spygate, his brand has been tarnished. Hernandez damaged it further, so now even the thought of bringing in someone like Ray Rice or Incognito would further tarnish the brand. You know, that's actually a good point, Todd. Very good point. But the problem is he had to say what he had to say because there really is no other correct answer to say, and he's still getting hammered for it in social media. You can find it. I don't need to bring it up to you. You can certainly find it. It's out there. Pat in Agawam, Massachusetts. John Max's call earlier today was the greatest I've ever heard on Playbook, and I completely agree. Yes, we got outplayed and got our butts kicked in the second half, but anyone who wants to jump off the bandwagon, feel free. Us real fans don't need your Chicken Little mentality. Nicely said. Nicely said. And Mike gets the last word today. Mike says on Twitter, tell the fans to stop being fair-weather cop-outs. Relax, they'll fix that, and we will prevail. Go Pats. Well played, well said. Thank you, everybody, for your participation. The inaugural Nitpick Tuesday here for Patriots Playbook this year. Quite frankly, I don't think anybody expected this to occur. It happened. Perhaps they got it out of the way. Perhaps they'll learn their lesson. Perhaps they'll be able to correct the problems and have everything corrected in time for a Minnesota team that opened up impressively, that has a former Patriot at quarterback, and, oh, by the way, ended up undefeated during the preseason. And I know that doesn't mean much. Certainly doesn't mean much to me. But in terms of momentum, I can't imagine Minnesota is running a scared of anybody, especially the Patriots this week. If anything, they'll be on their guard because they know the Patriots will be playing desperately, and they should be playing desperately on Sunday. So tomorrow we officially turn the page and we start working and start looking in the playbook on the Minnesota Vikings, which is a team that you don't get but every 4 years, and you don't play them in Minnesota but once every 8 years. So it's time to look at the Vikings, and we'll continue to do that. We want you to participate as well. 2 o'clock Eastern time right here in the playbook, or later, of course, on the podcast. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, everybody, for taking part today in the Patriots Playbook. Todd and Bill, Fantasy, coming up next here, Patriots.com Radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.